That's it. I'm turning back.
I know your family's waiting.
I know it's an important day.
Our only hope now is to outrun that Imperial garbage scow, though. I'm going to Lightspeed.
That's the spirit. You'll be celebrating Life Day before you know it.
Hello and welcome to We Can't Rewind, We've Gone Too Far, a podcast where a Scotsman, an Irishman and a Bulgarian discuss the silliest, worst or downright the most memorable music videos, most of the time. All of you have already seen the title of today's episode, so before we dive into today's insanity, I must reiterate that the idea to record this episode was entirely fueled by David's mental breakdown. On behalf of his friends, family and colleagues, I extend my deepest sympathies and offer my thoughts and prayers. Let us take a second of quiet contemplation in memory of his well-being this holiday season.
This makes it sound like I've actually had a mental breakdown.
The night is young.
Yeah, did you know? Yeah. And now let's dive in headfirst into the Star Wars Holiday Special, a film that is teaching us what the holidays are all about. Mindless consumerism, endangerment of children, and heavy acid. And we also have a guest. It's a Christmas miracle. Yay! Say hi, Charlie.
Hello. He's here to help us talk about this absolute fucking travesty of a film.
You turned up at my house and made me watch it last
yeah.
night.
Yeah. Okay. I saw it was an hour and a half and I was like, I'm going to need help for this.
I tried to get Scott to watch it. He just peered over my shoulder. He was like, nope, and walked away.
I feel like it's something we had to do, though. You have to watch it once.
Do you though?
It's really the first sequel.
Yeah.
It's the first thing. Star Wars would have been out 18 months before this came out. So, you know, a year and a half of it being in the public consciousness. I can't imagine how excited kids all over North America must have been when this was going to be on TV. It must have been a major television event. You know, I'd love to see how the ratings as the show progressed, because it wouldn't have been long before kids were like, "Mummy, Daddy, I'm bored shitless now." Confused and a little bit frightened.
Listeners at home, me and Charlie are just sitting in the living room with a microphone pointed vaguely towards us, so this might not sound as good as usual, but fuck it, it's Christmas, I couldn't be arsed.
The Star Wars Holiday Special, starring Mark Hamill as Harrison Ford, as Han Solo, as Princess Leia, Daniels as C-3PO, R2-D2 as James Earl Jones as the voice of Darth Vader, introducing Chewbacca's family, his wife, his father, his son, Lumpy, with special guest star, Beatrice Arthur, Art Carney, Diane Carroll, the Jefferson Starship, Harvey Korman, on the Star Wars Holiday Special.
It's not so often we get to discuss a creation that has been discussed, reviewed and written about so extensively before, and this film has its own wiki page, amongst multiple hours of material from YouTube reviewers and internet bloggers, that originally aired in November 1978 on CBS, and it was directed by Steve Binder. Who is Steve Binder, you might ask? Good question. Do you know Steve Binder?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Hold that thought. The initial airing of the special was very poorly received. It was never aired again, and it would have stayed entirely forgotten for the good of humanity if it wasn't for dorks like us who decided it was actually a cult classic. Disney still don't want to have anything to do with this, and that's where we come in. So you were saying, you know who Steve Thingy is?
Well, I do know. Yeah, no, he looks like he's a guy who did a lot of music, like, you know, song and dance numbers and things like that. Okay. So it makes sense to get someone like that. It's a marriage of Star Wars and variety show acts, which is just what kids wanted, clearly. But yeah, so they got this guy. But it looks like there was another director they got on board first, an up-and-coming filmmaker that was a classmate of George Lucas. So and he got him involved, and then he was like, it's too complicated for him. Not working with a single camera, you're working with five. Yeah. You know, and it's, I guess, a different set of skills. And he dodged a bullet. And this other guy, Steve, was it Binder? Did it? And I think he's still around. He's still working today. And he's like
90 years old or something, which is quite amazing, to be honest.
He has to work till he dies. That might be the revenge for his karma for making this. But yeah, I mean, there's a big deal about George Lucas not really having anything to do with it, but I don't think that's actually, having read up on it, I don't think that's as true as people say. Okay. In fact, the opening 15 minutes. When we talk about the storyline,
I mean, what storyline?
Yeah, I mean, it's, I mean, how, what did you think of it?
Sorry. I thought it was the second worst piece of media I've ever watched, apart from Cats.
I was going to say it's Cats, isn't it? The
movie. I was going in thinking, is this going to be worse than Cats? And it wasn't quite as... It didn't give me that visceral feeling of what the fuck. It was just dull. That was a problem. It was dull and fucking baffling. You know you're off to a good start when the first 15 minutes of it is a bunch of Wookiees speaking in Wookiee language to each other for 15 minutes with no subtitles. Could argue if they did it like the start of WALL-E, where it's all sort of visual storytelling and all that stuff, but it's fucking not. It's just a bunch of Wookiees going for fucking... And there was just something so grating about the way they were doing it as well.
Was it lumpy or scratchy or something? I mean, his voice is just... It was just sat right there. That frequency that just gets into your brain. It's like, shut up!
So I think this is the moment when I should actually say how I actually watched it. Well, I tried watching it three different times.
Three?
I managed to get 10 minutes in, which was last night, and I then decided I can't do this. So I did watch it this morning, but yeah, I didn't actually watch it in the way you watch a normal movie, so I watched it sound off at 2x the speed, and I just had random songs, playlist going on in my head. And I had a jolly good time because it was the great songs. And I think whatever was going on the screen, it was just working very well. So basically I was having a jolly good time this morning.
So you enjoyed watching it?
I did.
Sound off in 2x speed.
Yes. I'm very happy to provide a playlist if anyone wants to repeat my experience of the songs that were happening in my head.
I was trying to think what the storyline you would have missed would have been.
I mean, I guess what they've done is they've thought, like, let's have a storyline and then we'll intercut it with song and dance numbers. Mm-hmm. And they're probably, the song and dance bits are probably the least bad bits about it. It's the waffling, nonsensical, not very funny comedy stuff in between this where it all falls apart. You've got these seasoned pros turning up. I wonder how much they get paid to do their routine. Obviously thinking, this is Star Wars, this will be huge. And then they're like, it's this. I think they must have had the main Star Wars actors in for at most a day to shoot their stuff. It's a close-up of Harrison Ford at one point, I think, during the song at the end. And you can see him just, holy shit, what am I doing? What the fuck am I doing here like that? This is awful.
He sounded bored whenever he was delivering any of the dialogue, which I don't blame him because the dialogue was fucking mint.
He's kind of hiding his... He don't really see his eyes in this. He's all sort of looking down. I thought, if they see my eyes, they'll know. Because they'll see the tears.
He's like, I'm not that good an actor. I can't pretend this is good.
Yeah. I mean, you've got Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher just like belting it to the back of the auditorium like that, you know, and just, oh god.
But even weird stuff like Mark Hamill looks like he's got like full-blown theatrical makeup on as well.
He does.
But I think the vague story was Chewie was trying to get home for Life Day to his family, and you meet his family, which is a regret that we all have now. On the way back, he gets kind of interrupted by Empire forces, and they also come and search his house, and I think that's the whole story. And then it just kind of goes off in random jaunts. It's like at one point they're watching like Wookiee QVC. I'd forgotten about the cooking show where it's just someone following a recipe.
While we're stirring, we also whip. So it's stir, whip, stir, whip, 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 stir. Stir, whip, stir, whip, 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 stir.
We can talk about the blackface.
The chef.
Yeah, he's white. Like he's just white.
Well, he plays several roles. Yeah. I think a few of them do play several roles in it, don't they?
But I think that's just a different time sort of situation. So
78, though. When did it become massively inappropriate?
Well, politicians were doing it up until like 10 years ago.
That's true, actually.
I think by that time, it was still around. I think into the 80s as well, you would get that now and again. But
yikes.
I'd love to see the script. Because the first 15 minutes, it's before someone else comes in and speaks English. You know, I think he's on the screen and then it's back to more Wookiee's domestic bliss, and you can't even really follow what's going on, really. If you watch a film, you know or TV show with the sound off, you can basically get the gist of what's happening. And with this, I was like, what the hell are they doing now? You know, there's nothing wrong with the masks or anything like that. It's Stan Winston that did the Wookiee masks, you know, that's before Terminator and all this stuff, so all that stuff's fine. It's just this nonsensical thing. And do you know, despite what everyone says about George Lucas hates it and thought it was awful and wasn't really involved with it, non-stop Wookiness was his idea and his insistence. No, I want to do a film that's entirely about Wookiees. And he wouldn't back down and says, if you're going to do this, it has to be Wookie-tastic. And so it's his fault, but then he left it with them because Empire Strikes Back was going into pre-production and he's setting up ILM and all that stuff. So he left it to this company that deal with a production team that deal with musical numbers and shows like that. I trusted them with it, and he saw the end thing and he ordered every copy burned. But he's got more to blame for than anyone else. It's just, you know, I guess they could have done something with a Wookiee thing, you know, and made it much more palatable, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no dialogue in the first 30 minutes of Mad Max 2, I think, yeah. And that works, you know.
I feel like either you do like a Wall-E thing where it's like a visual storytelling, or you just give the Wookiees subtitles. Because I generally found myself just zoning out because it was just Wookiees roaring at each other.
Yeah. If only they'd known that in years, decades to come, that because they didn't put subtitles in, other people will. You know, and so you could have a lot of fun with it.
That's a good fucking point.
Yeah, I mean, we've all put subtitles on R2-D2 and whatnot. And that's what he's really saying.
I feel like they didn't really know what made Star Wars good either, because it's like they've got the characters are there and all that stuff, but nothing, there's nothing else really.
It really feels like it's sci-fi, it's a Star Wars written by people who don't really know it, and there's only been one Star Wars film by then as well, but also it's probably written by people who don't really like sci-fi. I felt like they didn't really understand sci-fi or science fantasy at all, and they just, you can hear this sort of random bits of gobbledygook, which to the layperson is probably what sci-fi actually is, you know, when it's not really, you know, see, but it's not good sci-fi, but this was, it was just, it just felt like it was, oh yeah, Star Wars, I've seen it, okay, and put in this, you know, we'll have little bits of shit techno babble and whatnot. And
yeah, I think a lot of sci-fi suffers from techno babble, but in this case it was like particularly strong. Is it canon or has it been expunged?
I don't think it's canon, but there's stuff in there that premiered on the holiday special that became canon, like the look of the Wookiee's planet is that style of architecture and is in the prequels, and it comes from Ralph McQuarrie as well, so you've got that.
Who's Ralph McQuarrie for?
He was a concept artist that was a big factor in getting Star Wars funded. A lot of his designs end up in the films, and a lot of his map paintings as well in those first three films are his work. He designed the Wookiee's treehouse. I do kind of want to live there.
It'd make a great Airbnb, yeah.
So. Yeah, let's think, let's find positives.
Yeah.
Can you find any positives in this?
Very, very good costumes. Can't afford them.
The last appearance of Princess Leia's ear bun, her buns. She's never had them again. What else? It could have been 2 hours. It was only an hour and a half.
Yeah,
the cartoon wasn't terrible. That was all right. If that was a standalone thing.
Mm. Oh, is now. Disney Plus released it. Yeah, on its own.
Like, we will take this one part and put it over here, away from the rest of it.
Well, that makes sense because they introduced Boba Fett in that. It was easy just to leave that off as opposed to just to create something new from start.
Boba Fett was being developed for Empire Strikes Back as a super stormtrooper. There was various costume tests and things like that, and there was a Star Wars parade in George Lucas's hometown, or there was Star Wars characters and costumes as part of the local parade, and they had Darth Vader, someone else, and the Boba Fett costume. They put that out for the very first time, and people were like, in this parade, were like, you know, the spectators, like, who's this guy? And he goes, oh, he's Boba Fett, like that. And then he shows up in the cartoon. His storyline trajectory has been a massive disappointment as the films have gone on. I think one of these characters, he's one of those characters, you just leave him alone.
Yeah.
He's like Matt Berry in the IT crowd. He's great. Turns up for 2 minutes. Yeah. He's great. But to have a whole episode, maybe not. But anyway.
All things considered, did the Clone Wars and everything. It was pretty cool. It's just that the TV show on him was like, well, he's now old and probably not fit enough to be able to do the roles that he wants, and you know, the breastplate and everything not really fitting him anymore, and kind of having to, and it's very sad because he's still a perfectly fine actor. It's just that give him something that it's more appropriate for what he can do, and that's fine.
Did you ever actually see his face in the original ones?
No.
I don't think you did.
No.
So,
no.
So there really wasn't any reason to get him to play it, apart from the voice, I guess.
He's a clone of his father.
Yeah.
So naturally they go with that. But and you know,
I've always meant to watch the prequels again before the new ones came out. And every time I went to do it, I couldn't bring myself to do it.
It is a hate watch.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the thing is though they're no longer the worst Star Wars films.
Well,
yeah, I think the Last Jedi was the last one. Was it Last Jedi?
Rise of the Jedi.
Oh, yeah.
Somehow Palpatine returns. It's just that sums it all up.
Somehow.
Oh yeah, I was thinking when David Cameron came back in, it was like somehow David Cameron returned. It was interesting what you were saying, Elle, about how the Wikipedia description of this Star Wars special actually sounds quite interesting. I feel the same way about the prequels. If you read the story on Wikipedia, it sounds quite interesting. But it's just when you watch it, you're like, oh, God.
I'd quite like them to remake the prequels. but they're not as bad. At least they add story. Yeah. You know, the sequels that J.J. Abrams and Kathleen Kennedy did add nothing. There's no imagination there or anything. It's just lots of cool concept art that they've hung a script on. And they open it with that horrible line, "This will begin to make things right." And that's up yours to George Lucas,
yeah,
it seems. And then George Lucas has sat back and watched it absolutely implodes. He's like,
oh yeah, he was crying his billions. I'm sure he cared.
Yeah. He goes into his bath full of $100 notes and
bath of champagne. Yeah,
but anyway, the Star Wars holiday special.
But yeah, at least the prequels didn't have a VR porn section
that we know of. That might have been edited out.
Oh yeah, I might put in, I recorded us watching it yesterday, so I might put in clips of us. Here.
Hey, who is this for?
I don't know. He gets like a USB stick off the trader, and he's like, "This will be pretty good."
Reggie, I thought you might like this. One of those. It's a real. I don't know how to explain it. Wow.
When you're watching this, going, is this about to be what I think it is? And it is.
I mean,
all that was missing was like the little fucking like twitch, like tip button in the corner.
What?
Never mind.
It's the fact that he's sat down in the living room of the family home, starts watching this saucy video. And then it finishes and he's got this fluid all over his chin. It's like, what the hell? Baffling. I did like the imagery. it's that very 70s kind of stuff. All this, a lot of the song and dance numbers, I do like the look from that era, you know, where they would, you just get a band and stick them against a black backdrop,
yeah,
kill all the depth and put, like, I kind of like that, you know, and they've got I think they put a backdrop, which is a shot of just a close up of a diamond or a jewel or something like that. Yeah. And they've put in a starburst, but I kind of like that. It's kind of nostalgic. But granddad to sit there and get a boner in front of the whole family. I mean, I want to go back to the Wookiee. Wookiees, if that's the kind of lifestyle they lead.
I remember you last night saying, "Who is this for?" Like, because presumably this was like meant to be like fun for all the family, and you've got this. You've just got Granda Wookiee.
That's for your creepy uncle who shows up on holidays only.
That must be it. Yeah, yeah. This is one for creepy Uncle Jeff. It was just strange.
How can we ever lose this? From all my life I choose this minute. I will give up the old and the new, sharing with you this minute.
Back to your previous question, whether that's where that goes in the timeline. It's never mentioned again that Chewbacca has a wife and a child. Mm. What happened to that child? The child is off because it fell off. From this, like, in the first 5 minutes, he's shown just walking precariously on top of a handrail. And I was thinking, yeah, that child is gonna be dead in 5 years.
Yeah. He fell to the bottom of the tree.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a good point. Yeah, they've never mentioned this again.
They do show his village again. I can't remember in which movie. I think it was in the sequels. And there's nothing. He just chills. They might not be, like, all things considered, we don't judge here. They might be polyamorous. He might have just gone off with another female Wookiee.
I don't know. Him and Han were very close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He divorced his Wookiee wife for Han Solo. And then,
well, they have the thing where they're tied upside down in the Millennium Falcon. Oh, it looks like they've interrupted something.
Yeah.
And, oh, we've been attacked and Han Solo's tied upside down. Is it? Yeah, yeah, we had people break in. And,
yeah.
It's terrible what they've done to him. When in fact, it's Han and Chewbacca's
bondage party.
What goes on in the Falcon stays on in the Falcon.
But what was it? The actual reason it was because he'd been poisoned with a sleeping drug or something, and that was to keep him alive, to have the blood rush to his head, having him upside down.
Yeah, it's like,
interesting. Okay.
Anyway,
that's definitely someone's king, 100%, like 100%.
The one interesting thought I had while watching this was, I was like, is this how like the average public of the Empire live while the heroes are out fighting with lightsabers and you know, saving the world and stuff? Are they just on Wookiee QVC or Wookiee Home Shopping Network and doing cooking recipes? Is this just how the rest of the Star Wars universe lives?
Yeah.
It could be. I thought they'd be fighting all the time, Wookiees, but no, it's domestic bliss.
Yeah.
They can't be fighting all the time. Someone needs to be doing the cooking and the masturbating, I guess, and the wrong with this.
I bet that was George's idea. There's no sort of wide shot of him in that chair. He might actually have had a boner as well. You just never see like that, so...
Got to get the lipstick out.
Yeah.
Be like a dog.
Oh my God.
I mean, considering that they're constantly naked, and that we've established that Chewbacca has a wife and a child, presumably either marsupials or mammal-like. They don't lay eggs.
Yeah. Chewie is, he's hiding something under that fart.
That's, yeah, there needs to be some sort of attraction going on.
Oh my gosh.
They're growers, not chores.
Images that are running through my head right now out of the... Did Grandad do anything after that, or was it just another...
I think it was kind of last we saw him, apart from just going... Whoa,
he died.
Chewie's home.
That's how he went.
I think
the film Soylent Green has a scene where there's a guy who's about to die from old age, and they put him in like a big screening room surrounded by cinema screens, and it's all these images of lush green fields and valleys and stuff, and so he's sort of surrounded by nature, and then he dies, and I was thinking, is this what the VR scene from the holiday special is? This is how he goes. I wanted to steer away from, I didn't want to be the one that keeps us anchored to the wanking scene.
Just one more round, friend, then homeward bound, friend, don't forget me in your dreams. Just one more song, friend, and then so long, friend, the nights get shorter, it seems. Just one more rhyme, friend, yes, it's a crime, friend, but you know time, friend, time can fly. So it's good night, friend.
The only other bit we haven't talked about is the scene in the bar with what the Golden Girls woman was it? Or?
Oh yeah, Bea Arthur. She was great.
Another example of a perfectly good actor being
given away free drink.
Just constantly giving away free drinks.
No wonder the business went down the tubes. a lot of the masks that were used in the film turn up there. The film was shot in England, so a lot of the costumes will be in storage in England. But those cantina scenes where you, from the original Star Wars film, where you cut away to close-ups of creatures and stuff like that, when you get to cantina, that was all shot in America because they needed to enliven that bar scene up with creatures. So there was just close-ups shot in little mock-up sets. So that makes sense that they would have those costumes to hand there. Well, that guy with the hole in the top of his head comes in and you think that they know each other.
Yeah.
And it turns out that she has no idea who he is.
Yeah.
You know, because he's obviously in love with her like that, and then you think they know each other, and then after I realise that she's no idea who he is at all. It's odd.
Because she says the thing she says to everyone who leaves.
Because I know. Come back soon, I'll be waiting.
And he takes that to be like, oh, she must be in love with me, blah. And he basically comes back to stalk her, I guess.
In so shit.
Yeah. And then he downs a pint through his head and passes it. And then at the end, everybody fucks off and he's still there. So, and then it cuts away. So she might be dead.
For all we know.
Is there even a conclusion?
They sing, you know, they have a life day and they all get together for a song at the end.
Yeah.
Harrison Ford looks like he's going to kill himself.
To be honest, Fisher's, this is just his resting face.
Carrie Fisher does not look entirely with it either.
She's like, get me out of here.
A day that takes us through the darkness.
show notes for links to today's video, links to Instagram, etc.
Just a note. We have an active Twitter, but we're not using it anymore because Twitter is a shithole, so we're looking into that, so for now it's just Instagram.
Links to Instagram and nothing else, because X isn't a real thing. Also email goingtofarcast@gmail.com if you have any thoughts or recommendations for music videos like we usually do. And if you're enjoying the podcast, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcast player of choice. And that's us. Thanks, Charlie, for coming along.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.
I think I owe you some sort of blood sacrifice.
That's okay. That's fine. I think I'll just get my payment in. Reenacting that scene from Misery where Kathy Bates takes your ankles.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Puts a piece of wood between them and smashes one of them. And there we go. That'll be halfway to the compensation. Making me watch this.
Happy Life Day.
Happy Life Day. Remember, the true meaning of Life Day is. We'll be right back.